welcome to episode 90 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Amy, and Laura, and we're also joined this week by our engineer and editor Heidi. Isla Mujeres is a 20-minute high-speed ferry ride from Cancun, but a million miles removed from Cancun's urban scene. The island in the Caribbean Sea is less than 5 miles long with 15,000 inhabitants and features beaches as well as a dramatic and rocky coastline depending on which side of the island you're on. In pre-Columbian times, the island was sacred to the Maya goddess of childbirth and medicine, and when the Spanish arrived in the 16th century, they named it Isla Mujeres because of the many images of goddesses they saw on the island. You can snorkel, zip line, tool around on a golf cart, or do nothing on one of the most magnificent beaches in the world, Playa Norte. That's exactly what Heidi did last week in her first visit to the island. Heidi's lived in Mexico and traveled extensively throughout the Republic since 1985, including 16-plus trips to Cancun and the Yucatan and Riviera Maya. She describes herself as a tough sell when it comes to Mexican resorts, and Isla Mujeres blew her away.
I can attest that Heidi is definitely a tough sell.
Yeah. She, I don't know, she kind of raved about this one a lot.
No, I was actually surprised that she said, yeah. So just to talk about her, like, she's not here for a minute. Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
I was going to say, is she here?
Yeah, she is. She is. But she's also nodding because she knows.
So tell me, what made you pick this one? Just because it was someplace new?
Someplace new. Someplace that neither my husband or I had gone. And we traveled with his sister and her friend. And his sister had been once. And she said, oh, yeah, it's nice. Let's try it. Last year we had kind of a not great experience with seaweed on the mainland. And so Isla Mujeres, the good beaches face the opposite direction, so there is no seaweed. Nice. So we said, oh, for sure, let's give this a try.
So before this trip, what was your sort of like ultimate location along? Because that's sort of a large area between Cancun and, you know, the Riviera Maya extends pretty far. So where would you have gone before? Like what would have been the like best?
So before this, the best beach that we've had in anywhere in the Riviera Maya is at the Barceló complex down in Puerto Aventuras. The beach there is stunning. It is on a bay. There's 5 resorts on this big bay. And you can just get in the water with your goggles and just stick your head in and see fish. And there's sea turtles everywhere. They just pop their little heads up and you can kind of follow them
around. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's tons of palm trees on the beach at the Barceló. That's the shade. So it really feels very South Pacific-like. So that for us was the favorite in terms of beach. So we didn't think that this could ever surpass that. And this blew the area down near Tulum way out of the water.
Really? So, like it actually was better?
It actually was better. The beach is very, very calm. It is knee-deep to waist-deep as far out as you can see. When I posted pictures on Facebook, mm-hmm. You see the boats. People getting off the boats are getting off the boats in knee-deep water and walking ashore to the beach clubs and the bars.
That's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. Like, if you Google map the Hotel Mia on Isla Mujeres and look at the satellite image, you'll see all this pale blue water as far as I can see.
So, Hotel Mia, M-I-A?
M-I-A. It's on its own little island, on its own little causeway, and you can snorkel in knee-deep water right under the bridge, and there's some rocks. There's open ocean, and then a bunch of rocks and a reef, and then for children, it would be fabulous. It'd be the best thing ever. There are no waves. The water is warm.
That's my kind of ocean. I really like flat ocean.
Of course, my kids look at it and they're like, where are the waves?
Oh, no. That's what I like.
But I was surprised because I saw you post pictures and I have never seen water that blue in Cancun. I mean, it was like Bahamas water. It was really blue. Yeah, that's a good
experience. So where did you stay?
We stayed at a hotel called Privilege Alush. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's A-L-U-X-E-S.
Sounds like a lush.
I think it's a Luches is the way they pronounce it.
From memory and what little research I've done on it, because nobody really asks to go there, there's a secrets resort there, right?
It's a Zoetry. And I've actually sent somebody there. So when you say nobody.
Personally,
yes.
Never.
Yeah.
There are two, I think, fairly high-end resorts on the island. One is the Zoetry and one is the Palace. They're on the opposite side of the island.
Okay, so their beaches wouldn't be as nice?
Their beaches are very, very small. Okay. I have a friend that stayed at Zoetree. She loved it. But every day they rented a golf cart and they went to Playa Norte mm-hmm. for the beach. But if you like to look at water and you want to be pampered, those are the places to go.
And the food is good at Zoetree yes. as well. So that, yeah.
Zoetree has an incredible restaurant.
Yeah. And I do think that was actually my client's biggest concern was that they would get bored with that restaurant, but they did a little bit. They were there for 5 nights and they're like, yeah, we were okay for like 3 of those nights. And then we wanted to go elsewhere, which I think is fine. I mean, I think that's actually, I would expect that too. You wouldn't want to just go because that Zoetree is small, but when you book at Zoetree, your transfers are included and the transfers are by water. So it's kind of
private water
from the airport.
Private water. City? Yes. Private water taxi. Yes. They call it a yacht. Really nice. I haven't actually looked at I'm assuming it is officially a yacht. It's kind of hard to say that and then not deliver, but yeah, it's quite nice.
So to be sure, I asked Heidi this just to put it on the podcast. You fly into the Cancun airport and it's about a 20-minute transfer to the pier.
Right.
And then a 20-minute boat ride over to the island, correct?
Yes. Very easy boat ride. I get very motion sick. I was really afraid.
Oh.
And, nothing. Not even a bobble. You get dropped off. We used a private transfer service. It was about $60. And they drop you off right at the ferry dock. You stand in a short little line, get your round trip ticket, and the ferry leaves every half hour. Really easy. Get on. You get right off at the ferry dock in Isla Mujeres. So you can either walk or take a taxi. It was hot, so we took a taxi. Taxi was $3.50 to get to the hotel. They literally just loaded our luggage into the back of the car with the trunk up.
Started driving.
Right, exactly.
Pack well.
You really don't need to bring much of anything to Isla Mujeres. There's nothing upscale about this place at all. It is casual to the nth degree.
Yeah.
We went to a good restaurant and everybody, we dressed up a little bit because I had like a sundress on and everybody else was just wearing.
Now where you were was an all-inclusive, correct?
It was.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought the boat ride over was kind of fun. It's kind of like a speedboat and there's a guy playing guitar on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It just goes really quickly.
And when were you there, Laura?
I was there in 2008.
Okay.
There were 6 women. We were all traveling together. It was very easy, very much like Heidi said, you know, we rented a van. I think it was like $50 for the van for all 6 of us. And our motel was right near the where we got dropped off. We did walk our luggage there. But if I went next time, I'd take kind of a carry-on because we brought way too many clothes.
Yeah, you have to listen.
It's so casual.
You'd have to listen to our packing light episode.
Yeah. Well, and I will say since then, I think the island has changed a bit too because there was a storm yes. that hit the island. And mm-hmm. so a lot of, like the Zoetree is sort of a rebuild of an old, it wasn't completely destroyed, mm-hmm. but it definitely, you know, had to be rebuilt a bit. So, yeah. And to put things in perspective, if you're looking, you know, because a lot of clients call me and Amy, I'm sure you've heard this too. Okay, so flying into Cancun is so easy, but we don't want to stay in Cancun because it's all touristy. So what do we do? And you tend to go south to the Riviera Maya, and those transfers can get kind of long. If you're going down to Tulum.
To the Barcelona, it's about an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 10 minutes.
So really, this is only just a little bit longer, 20, mm-hmm. right? And
it actually feels much shorter.
Yeah, because you're breaking it up with a boat.
And you're on the boat, so the mm-hmm. boat feels festive to begin with. So you already feel like you've already kind of started your vacation. There is a bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, is there beer?
There's a little beer tender man, and he will serve you beer if you wish. But I think Isla Mujeres could appeal to certain types of travelers that the Riviera Maya in Cancun doesn't necessarily appeal to.
So expand on that. What do you mean?
I think that the all-inclusive resorts in the Riviera Maya and the ones in Cancun to a certain degree, you know, they're kind of theme resorts. You have your Italian restaurant, your French restaurant. Mm-hmm. You have pretty much they're kind of all the same. The service is fantastic usually. You dress up a little more for dinner. Isla Mujeres is the antithesis of that. Like an all-inclusive resort in the Riviera Maya, for the most part, sometimes you don't even know you're in Mexico.
Or you don't leave.
Or you don't yeah. leave. Yeah. Isla Mujeres felt incredibly Mexican to me. And I was afraid. I thought, oh, it's going to be really trumped up. It's going to be completely gringotized. And it wasn't at all. It was very authentic. Tons of places to get fried fish or tacos. People just kind of going about their daily lives. Little kids after school going with their mothers to the beach, kind of taking their clothes off and just getting in the water. Not naked, but it felt very
touristy.
Felt like a good mixture of tourism.
Like a beach town.
And it felt like people are living there and this is their life, and we happen to be there too.
So I know you went with a bunch of adults.
was the resort a family resort?
Or? It was a family resort. It doesn't cater to children. There are no activities at all for children.
Okay.
The children we saw there, though, were incredible. It was so different. Instead of having activities, they're always out playing on the beach, making sandcastles, kind of running around on the beach. It was the least rowdiest I've ever seen a resort.
So kind of like taking them to, go ahead and say it, Myrtle Beach.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff in Myrtle Beach.
I actually would like to talk about that a little bit, because I think one thing that people say to me is, okay, well, I want to go, okay, an all-inclusive might not be for me because I want to do other things. And so you hear Isla Mujeres is this tiny little island, so I'm sure that all there is to do on it is a beach and sitting around. So, but there's a lot more. And actually, I've been there, and I did the dolphin experience there. So there's a big dolphin center there, and a highly reputable one as far as dolphin centers go. Mm-hmm. So, with full experiences for everything from just the, encounters where you pet them and get in the water with them to the swims where they push you and all that. So, but what else is there?
There's a national park called Garrafón, and it has a whole day experience. I think it's like maybe $80 a person, and that includes your meals and your zip lining and your snorkeling and anything you want to do in there. But right next to it, you can also enter for like $1 if you just want to snorkel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't have to do that experience. So if somebody were really budget-minded, but they wanted to do a little snorkeling in that spot, because it's a really beautiful spot.
Yeah, you did that, Laura?
Yeah, we did a pay-a-dollar go snorkeling.
Oh, okay. Because I did the
snorkeling was amazing.
I did the full experience, with the VIP experience with the lunch and everything included. Now, I will say the zip line is 3 zips. And as far as zip lines go, I'm glad it was my first one because I didn't know any better.
That was
the first one I did. And yeah. And I think, after doing a couple other zip lines, there was a realization of, that one is kind of babyish, I would say. And yeah, but it's over the water, which is cool. It's the only one that I've done that's over the water.
So. Yeah. We watched that guy go to work. He arrived and, he parked his motorbike, kind of chained it to a post, jumped over the wall, clipped on and ziplined over down into the park.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's a job.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, indeed. So, and it had like an infinity pool that you could swim in and then lots of hammocks, and it was a really nice day, actually.
So the dollar snorkel thing, is that bring your own snorkel equipment?
Yes, but I think they do rent it too.
So did you bring your own to your hotel or did you?
So my husband did, but I don't use a snorkel. I get dizzy. So I just actually use goggles and come up for air.
Uh-huh.
And we only snorkeled. We were right near Playa Norte, which is the big expanse of beach where they film Corona commercials. And they're saying it's really shallow, really far out. And so there's the Hotel Mia and it's on its own little causeway and under the bridge there, you can snorkel and then there's some rocks and you literally just, I mean, for children, it'd be fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, it would be up to their waist. They put some goggles on, stick their head in the water and, you know, we saw all kinds of fish. It was great.
That would be right up my kids' alley, I think.
That's good. And plus too, a lot of people brought rafts and so they were just floating around in totally crystal clear, calm water. A lot of boats, there are day trippers that come on weekends, there are a lot more. But there are boats that come up for the day and they just kind of cast the anchor in the knee-deep water. I don't know how they do it. And then everybody just walks ashore and there's a million beach clubs. And for the price of a chair, for the price of a meal or a drink, you get a chair for the day.
Yeah, I went to a beach club like that in Costa Maya. And it was as long as you ordered something, you could hang out at their beach and use their Wi-Fi.
Right.
And yeah, it was good. And I see this in the Caribbean a lot. I love how in the bars they have swings instead of bar stools.
There's a beach bar called Tarzan's there that is all swings.
Talk about being sick. I was drinking and swinging.
So when we went there, there was, it was either $3 or $5. There was a guy on the beach with like big conch shells. And he was giving lessons. So you bought the shell from him like $3. And he taught you how to blow in the end of it, make the sound. And that had lots of, I remember there were like 10, 11, 12-year-old kids there who thought that was really a cool thing. You know, he's getting lessons on how to blow the conch shell.
I would never get my son away from there.
Yeah,
I'm not buying you a shell.
The beach vendors there, actually, I found them to be highly amusing and not annoying. They weren't like the cigar type people. There were women from the state of Chiapas, which is down near Guatemala, and they were selling all these handmade beaded earrings and keychains and things, and they're in their full garb. They're, you know, indigenous garb from a mountainous region. I'm thinking, my God, they must be melting out here.
the sunglasses that have like the fake.
No, I did buy some of those last year. Though.
I did too. When I was in Moroton, yeah, I bought some. They said they're not.
Mine said Oakley, but they had like these giant screws in them.
Mine, instead of Ray-Ban, they were Roy Boy.
So you think those are fake then? Is that okay?
They might be, but you know.
So yeah. I plan sometimes to avoid Mexico because they've heard from someone else about the crime in Mexico or the guards. And the, like, did you experience any of that in
no,
on the island?
I actually have to say, I think that the Riviera Maya is the safest place in the entire republic. There are other parts of Mexico that I would not venture to, but they're not tourist places up near the border, even some areas in Chihuahua and Sinaloa, where the cartels have like a very strong hold. The cartels are not fighting in the Yucatan, and it's incredibly safe. I'd say it's probably safer than some of our cities where people live there.
Yeah, like Chicago.
Incredibly safe. Like they are not there to rip off tourists. Yeah. They know that this is their bread and butter. They the level of English was also really good, making ourselves understood. Well, we were speaking Spanish, but I was watching other people around us, and they weren't having any problem. The one thing that they are strict on is if you rent a golf cart and you're drinking and driving, they have checkpoints. And their breathalyzer is they make you blow into the cop's cup hands, and then he smells them.
Yeah. Oh man, I bet they don't pay him enough for that.
I know.
Wow.
Like, just say it all this garlic. Yeah. But that's the one thing they are strict on, but I did not get a rippy offy sense at all. I didn't get a sense of any danger. It actually felt incredibly safe. If I were a woman traveling alone, I would feel safe there.
You left the resort some.
We did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot, probably, yeah. Knowing you, yeah.
Yeah, we did. My husband doesn't like to leave very much, but I made him on this trip go out. He likes to, when he gets to the place, he likes to just kind of settle down and read. And
so it's like my husband.
Yeah. He's like me. I'll take adventure, but.
The island is beautiful. You know, it alternates between these sandy, shallow beaches and these rocky coasts that I swear to you could be Ireland, except for the water's a little brighter.
And by a little, you mean a lot.
Well, on the rocky side, it's not that bright.
Yes, that's true. Cause that's the side I was on. That's why I was so surprised by your mm-hmm. pictures. I was on the, which I guess is the south side, right?
It's the east and the south side.
Okay, yeah.
And then the north side, Playa Norte, is where the good beaches are. And the west side is where Garrafon and those other areas are.
Mm-hmm. So how big is the island? Did you go all around it?
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
On a golf cart?
By golf cart?
Yeah, okay.
It took about 45 minutes. It's like 5 miles long, and you go down
one side.
Oh, we
could run that, Amy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Let's get a race. Yeah.
There was a race on Saturday when we left.
Was it like a 5K?
I don't know. They were shutting down all the streets, and we had to take a detour to get to the ferry. But I think this is a good trip for anyone that is maybe tired of the all-inclusive scene, or maybe isn't as formulaic as some of the all-inclusives can be. It's something that wants to get out and kind of venture out.
But once that convenience.
Of it, and especially like a place like Zoetree. I mean, if they want luxury. Yeah. It's a pretty luxurious resort.
My clients, actually, it's interesting that you say that because you sort of described them almost exactly, except the sort of opposite. Exactly the same, but opposite in that they normally do European plan hotels. But higher end because they like to adventure out. And so they were a little bit nervous about being trapped and all inclusive, but it was a special anniversary for them. And so they wanted something that was a little bit more pampering, something that was all inclusive, you know? And so this appealed to them for that reason, where they felt like, even though it was isolated, it was romantic, it was small, because some of the, like the Barcelo that you're talking about, that's really large when you think about the whole, so, and a lot of those all-inclusives are, they're in sort of a family, you know, where you can, and that's part of the selling point on it is that you can share privileges. So you stay at one, but then you can use the privileges at all of them. So you end up with like 18 restaurants to choose from. Mm-hmm. And so for them, I think the biggest hesitation before we booked Zoetree was, are we going to have enough to eat? Like, are we going to get bored with the food? But they ended up very happy, very happy.
Were thrilled. Actually, when we went, I brought a lot of money because I figured that we were going to need to go out to eat for dinner. And I figured, you know, dinner's not going to be very good. We'll go out. The food's supposed to be so fabulous. The dinners were so good. We only went out once. And they set up dinner. There was a Thai place that was actually pretty good. And then they have dinner on the beach. And there's a little dance floor. There's a guy playing acoustic a guitar. There's also couches with cushions set up. So there's some people sitting up and having cocktails, some people dancing in the sand, other tables in the sand, open to the stars. It was phenomenal.
Sounds awesome.
Fresh fish grilled, vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, shrimp cocktail and ceviche and very, very fresh food. It was just, we never got sick of it.
So would you say that this would be good? I mean, we've talked sort of about experienced Mexico travelers who might be looking for something different. Do you think a first-time Mexico goer, this would be a good choice, or should they start elsewhere and then move to this?
I think it depends. If they like to venture out, Isla Mujeres would be a really good choice. Like in the Riviera Maya, you tend to not venture out very much. These resorts are like giant compounds. They're pretty much self-contained. So unless you're going to do a trip to Chichen Itza or you're going to do a trip to Tulum, people tend to stay. This is more of a very manageable, let's get out and see it. We rent a golf cart for a couple of days, maybe eat in a few places, but we've also got maybe the luxury of staying in it.
So did you just rent the golf cart from the concierge at your hotel, or just there's places you can rent them on the island?
There are carts everywhere for rent.
Yeah,
how much did you say it was for the day?
I said it was like $35,
okay. Maybe
$40. And there's no insurance or anything.
Just get in and drive.
The point of reference, if you rent one at Fort Wilderness at Walt Disney World, is like $70 now.
Oh, for
a day.
Really?
For that campground, yeah.
Wow.
It was that in 2008?
Yeah. It was 60-something.
Are those electric carts?
Yes.
Oh, these are gas.
One of the things that we did that we really enjoyed was getting up one morning really, really early and driving to the south end of the island to see the sunrise.
The sunrise, ooh.
Yeah, and you can go all the way down the steps, mm-hmm. and there's a sign there that says, if you're here seeing the sunrise, you're the first person in Mexico to see the sunrise.
That's right, and on New Year's Day is a big deal.
Yeah.
People go out there to see the sunrise in that setting.
That's
with
beautiful.
The
beautiful. It's beautiful.
So worth it? Worth getting up that early in the morning? Because Amy, it
absolutely
needs to be worth it for Amy.
You'd be good sleeping with Sand.
Get up.
Some exercise.
Come see the sunrise.
Well, I'm a big sunrise and sunset person, but I thought it was a beautiful sunrise. And it was just kind of fun being by that sign and taking our picture by that sign.
Mm-hmm. So did you?
Telling folks, I was the first person to see the sunrise in Mexico today. You know?
Did you see the sunset that day too?
I don't think so. I think we were always drinking better.
Work that out a little better. All right. Well,
anything else?
I was just going to say it's very affordable compared to Cancun. Mm-hmm. I'd say prices are less than half in general.
Oh, wow.
Of any kind of food or drink or anything that you're going to do.
What about shopping though, if people want to shop?
Well, I shopped on the beach.
Yeah.
There are lots of shops.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say there's any fine shops. There's definitely not the higher end type of shops you find in some of the shopping.
But it sounds like good gifts or mm-hmm. like good souvenirs.
And you certainly, if you wanted the high end stuff, it's not very far to get to Cancun. If you want to take a day trip to go shopping
so
and
easy.
Go eat, you could just pop in. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Fly Away or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Laura, Elizabeth, Amy, Heidi, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly! Before we go, we'd like to announce that we have a special group set up once again for the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival in November. If you've never been, you're in for a treat. 30 extra booths are brought in around World Showcase with perfect sampling portions. It's a great trip for a couples weekend, a girls weekend, or even if you want to take the family. Outlander has a special with preferred rates for the weekend of November 4th. Send us a message for more info and experience all the International Food and Wine Festival has to offer.